This message entitled On Not Being Ashamed of the Gospel was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on October 11th, 2020 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Romans 1:1-17.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. For as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Amen. All right, praise God. Would you join me in prayer, please? We want to thank you, O Lord, that you have called us, dear God, to be the people, dear God, gathered unto you. And because of that, dear God, you can make us a thankful people. Because we will know from that, if you have gathered us, dear God, then you have something for us. Uniquely, dear God, for us. Praise God. It will be for other people as they go ahead and listen to this or watch this, dear God, online. But Lord, today, this morning, dear God, this is for us. This is for your church, dear God, Christ Our Rock Bible Church. And we want to thank you, dear God, Lord, that we are gathered in your name and for your purposes. And we have set all kinds of other things aside. Sure, there are many other things, dear God, that we could be doing. But we have a prior commitment, dear God. And that prior commitment, dear God, is right here in this place. And I pray, dear God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will indeed, dear God, plant your seed in each and every one of us. Hallelujah. We saw it right here in this scripture reading, dear God, and we thank you for it. And I thank you, dear God, that what we talked about, Lord, with the children this morning in the children's sermon speaks of the very same thing, dear God. Sending forth our faith, dear God, in order to grow. It first of all grows in us, but then it can be in other people, and it can grow in them too. So praise the name of Jesus for that. So we lift up your holy name. We know, dear God, that you are everything, dear God, and we are to let you be our everything, dear God, today. And that's why we have gathered. We know, dear God, that this is important. And I pray, dear God, that you'll have your way in every way this day. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I suppose maybe more now than maybe not ever before, but more now than in recent years, I suppose, there's been more recognition that crime is something to, you know, certainly not get into, certainly not to be a part of, as we even see the riots and the murders and so forth that take place. I mentioned Friday night, I really like the sign that's up at the pet store in Ford City. It says, you know, that the murder that goes on, the looting, the rioting, the burning of police cars, and all of this stuff, this is crime. It is not First Amendment rights. And I don't know whether they've gotten any flack on that or not, but I would hope that people are beginning to see, should have seen before, but are beginning to see that this stuff is a very negative approach to life. Okay? It's not the way God wants it. That's for sure. Well, it turns out that there was the National Crime Prevention Council that was developed and started off in the middle of October. In fact, I believe it was to this day, and it's been it has produced a designation for October as National Crime Prevention Month. Communities plan activities to highlight crime prevention and provide information on issues including child safety, home security, neighborhood watches, senior safety, and safe internet surfing. You could just not surf, you know, and then it's pretty safe. But anyway, the NCPC estimates that every year more than 25 million Americans are victims of crime. The NCPC is a private nonprofit organization that serves as the nation's resource for crime prevention by offering technical assistance and training, developing and implementing programs, publishing consumer education materials, and disseminating information to thousands of individuals and organizations. Sounds like that spores traveling around, right? The seeds. By the way, I saw it right here. Well, I'll run across it later and I'll mention it when I see it. A specific mention to what we were talking about with the kids in Romans chapter 1. Anyway, the NCPC is responsible for that very familiar Take a Bite Out of Crime service, public service campaign featuring McGruff the Crime Dog. Now, I suppose that would be all fine and good. It might be a start, but it's not the fullness of it. You know, a dog coming along and saying, take a bite out of crime, and then he takes a bite out of the word crime, and that's going to do it. No, God says it takes a lot more than that. It took a cross. Amen? It took a cross. God gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites as a type of crime prevention program. In fact, the last six commandments deal with how to treat other people. The first four deal with our relationship with God, but the last six are talking about our relationship with each other. You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, must not steal, testify falsely against your neighbor, covet your neighbor's possessions, and so forth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 13 to 17. Jesus gave an even higher principle for our treatment of others. Many teachings and religions, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, they have I don't know if they call it the golden rule, but they say this is one of our things. And we know it as the golden rule. But it's generally stated around the world in the negative form. Okay? Seeing it negatively. And what I mean by that is, don't do unto others that which you don't want done to you. It's the way it's usually out there. But Jesus expressed it in a very positive form, okay? We are to treat others as we want to be treated. This involves more than just refraining from hurtful actions. It calls us to actively do good to others, looking out for their best interests and their safety. We can do this only if we have the Holy Spirit living within us. Otherwise, it's just play acting and helping us to live a righteous life. See, that's what does it. It's God living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Amen? That's what makes it possible for you to live for God, to live that righteous life. Then the golden rule does more than just taking a bite out of crime. It might be a place to start, and it's kind of cute, but it's a lot more than that. Amen? It's not just even gobbling up the whole crime thing and getting rid of it. No, it's letting God live within, to be an indwelling spirit through the Holy Spirit and change us from the inside out. I told you before, if everybody became a true Christian, there would be no crime. Okay? There would be no crime. There would be nothing wrong, nothing bad. Everything would be gone if everybody became a true Christian and lived for God, empowered by an indwelling Holy Spirit, and lived for God every day. Do you understand what I'm saying? There would be nothing wrong going out there. There would be nothing bad. But a lot of people just won't put up with that kind of control by God. So we've got to take this positive angle that we've been talking about to see things in a light, okay, not a darkness, in a light, in order to be truly thankful. You know, but in verse 8, will you just look at verse 8 for a second? We'll go through this in just a minute, but look at verse 8. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. If you can't picture that mushroom sending out spores all over the place, or that dandelion sending out those seeds every which way, you need to take another look at that, because that's a physical picture of a spiritual reality with this faith going forth and encouraging faith in others. In fact, I think it's also true the other way around, okay? I mean, there's a positive angle in order to truly be thankful, but you need to also be thankful in order to have that positive attitude. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, so I think it's basically a two-way street, all right? Maybe the whole thing starts with thanksgiving, and that produces the positive outlook, and I kind of think that might be more the case than anything else. I wonder if this extensiveness is worldwide, culture-wide. I mean, think about it. Even in the animal kingdom, can a pet be thankful? Sure, sure. A gorilla walked into a donut shop. Actually, it was one of those combined donut shops and ice cream parlors. And he ordered a $1 sundae. The gorilla did. He put down a $10 bill to pay for it. And the clerk, thinking that the gorillas couldn't know how much money is and what the value of it is and so forth, kept the rest of the $10 and didn't hand back any of the change. The clerk's curiosity got the best of him, though, and he did ask, "We don't get too many gorillas in here. Where did you come from?" Well, the gorilla, as nicely as he could, replied, "It's no wonder that you don't get more gorillas in here. At $10 a Sunday, I doubt very seriously that I'm going to be back." Okay, we scored on that one. All right. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, that may not be a true test. Nobody would be okay with paying $10 for a Sunday, at least I don't think so, unless it's one of those huge banana splits maybe. Actually, the book of Romans is considered the most extensive of all. In many ways, far-reaching, extensive, covering a lot of things, and a lot of attitudes, and doing so positively. Okay? Let me show you what I mean. It is the most systematic, I'll explain that word in a minute, but systematic theological approach to things about the Lord. They call it systematic theology. Now, what does that mean? It means he goes point by point by point, taking a look at these different things, hitting one, and then the other, and then the third one, and working his way down to the end. That's systematic theology. In other words, there's a system to it. He's not just all over the place. Okay? It's the most systematic. Actually, the book of Romans uses more Old Testament quotations and what they call allusions, not illusions, allusions, meaning mentioning something about Scripture, okay? And it uses the Old Testament the most extensively than any other New Testament book. Not that the others don't have Old Testament quotes in them, but Romans tops it, okay? Also, chapter 8, remember chapter 8? It's the most extensive book or part of a book on the role of the Holy Spirit. When you consider everything else in the New Testament, chapter 8, okay, is the most extensive on the role of the Holy Spirit. Most extensive on the fall of the Jews and their redemption as well. Romans 9, 10, and 11 is all about the Jews getting saved. That's more than any other book. Okay? Before I actually kind of turn back to Romans chapter 1 and take another look at this, I know it's been read, but let me go through it once again. I wanted to share this from Rob Morgan, if I can find it. Maybe I don't have it. You know, I try to keep this stuff all together. Must be in here. No, it is not. Okay, well, that might have been the thing I shared at the very beginning of the service. So just click back to that and get that in your head. Okay, now, but I don't have it either. Okay. Oh, I know where it is. I folded it up and stuck it in my pocket. Okay, well, you know what he was talking about, his favorite spot, and it was like placing Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and so forth, and how we all need to be recognizing how glorious this earth is, but also recognize that in the end, you know, God has it set for a fire. Okay, the ultimate global warming. The earth is going to be no more. It's all going to be burnt away, and he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Our passion should be cast in that direction. And Peter asked the most practical question. Since all these things must be dissolved, all these things we look at every day, this whole world and everything in it, it's got to be dissolved in the end. In this way, through fire. What sort of people should we be? And he answers, we should be people of holy conduct and godliness. Amen? Take a look at Romans 1 again, all right? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, I'm starting with the first verse, but I'm going to go quickly, so here we go. Called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, separated without boundaries, or with a boundary rather, appointed to a certain area, okay? He has been separated from the rest of them and unto the gospel of God, dealing with the Gentiles, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, okay? A seed, a spore, so to speak, of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. That's an attentive hearkening, a compliance with what God says. And that's how you join with the life of God. Among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved by God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. It's intended to be disseminated and sent forth in order to cause more faith in more people. For God is my witness. Now that was all commentary, okay? That wasn't all just scripture. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. I recollect what you've been called to be and what you've been called to do. And I recite that, praise God. Making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey in the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established, set fast, turned resolutely in a certain direction, established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Amen? Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Okay? I want you to know this. I don't want you to ignore that. See, we look so much today at the word ignorant as being a put-down, a negative. You know, you're ignorant. You're ignorant. You don't understand this thing. But that's not really what it means. It means you're ignoring something. Okay? And what you're ignoring is what God says. All right? And that certainly is ignorant in the other sense of the word, I suppose. But we need to see that God intended it to be to use the word positively, okay? Not negatively. He's not calling people names here. He just says, you're ignoring something. Brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. I do not feel shame over the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he's not throwing the Jesus, the Jewish people out. If you were to turn right now to chapters 9, 10, and 11, you'd see he's not throwing the Jews out. But they do need to come to Jesus like everybody else, in faith in Jesus and not in Jewish principles or rituals. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now that particular verse is found in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, Galatians chapter 3 verse 11, and here it is right here too in Romans chapter 1. It's faith from start to finish. It's faith that is that spore that's going to be released and sent forth into all parts of the world, so to speak. And it's up to us to send that forth and to allow that to grow in us first, but then to grow in others and become a faith-based, so to speak, proposition. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. The just shall live by faith. The true Christian is not ashamed of that. Amen? Not ashamed of that. Listen to this. In mid-February, Islamic extremists murdered two church leaders in eastern Burkina Faso, announcing to the community that they will not tolerate Christianity in the area. Sounds rather negative to me. That's not God's view. Sounds rather negative, doesn't it? They announced to the community they will not tolerate Christianity in the area, and they did that by killing these two church leaders. Now just listen. I'm going to read this quickly, and just listen to what all's going on in this place. It's all talking about the same place. On February 10th, 2020, the extremists arrived at the home of a well-known church leader. And I am pronouncing all of these names perfectly right. You just don't know that because you're not seeing them. Okay? Lankwande Bababil. And shot him to death in front of his wife. Lankwande, who served in the village of Siba near the border of Niger, was known for his Christian witness in the community, especially among the nomadic Fulani people. He is survived by his wife and 9 children. 3 days after his murder, the terrorists went to the home of Pastor Tindano Omar and killed him and other members of his family. A few months prior to the murders, on Sunday, December 1st, 2019, just last year, gunmen opened fire on worshipers during a Sunday church service in eastern Burkina Faso, killing 14 and wounding many others. And in April 2019, 12 armed men walked into a church in Sergaji village in northeastern Burkina Faso and ordered the Christians to gather outside under a tree. After confiscating Bibles and cell phones, the men demanded that the Christians convert to Islam. When the believers refused, the men took them behind the church building one at a time and shot them to death. They then set fire to the pulpit. I'm guessing the pulpit was already on fire with the gospel, because these people are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? And then they set fire to the pulpit before leaving. Pastor Pierre Ugodro, his son Wend Cooney Ugodro, his son-in-law, I can't do these names, okay? That's all there is to it. It's Zawande Sowagdago and church members. By the way, these names are all known by God anyway. But I'll try. Suabi Sawagado, Aruna Sawadago, and Ellie Boyeni, all were killed. All killed. Shortly before the attack, Pastor Pierre had told his friends that although he felt danger was imminent, he would rather die for the Lord than leave the village where he had served for 40 years. Burkina Faso has seen a sharp rise in Islamic activity since 2016, as militants linked to the self-proclaimed Islamic State, the ISIS, the ISIS, and Al-Qaeda, who had largely been contained in neighboring Mali and Niger, crossed porous borders, meaning it was easy to get through the borders, to the north to broaden their influence in the Sahel region. More than 200 churches have reportedly closed northern and eastern Burkina Faso for fear of being attacked, and as many as 10,000 Christians have fled their homes as a result of violence and threats against Christians. Nearly 800,000 people in total have been displaced by the ongoing violence, further straining an already weakened economy and political uncertainty. Today, few Christians remain in the north and eastern parts of the country. Whole lot of death going on, whole lot of persecution going on, and that's just one place. That's just one place and one example, but a whole bunch of people gave their lives for Jesus. These people are not getting bogged down. They're not becoming disillusioned by the rejection that they see all around them. No, they got their eyes on Jesus, and they got it on a very positive gospel. Here's a God who loves you. You let him live within you, and you are saved. Praise the Lord. They see the positive. Those who don't want the gospel, the church must have an open heart for those who need Jesus and don't even know it. A lot of people need the Lord, and I think some of them don't even know it. All right? I think some of them do know it, and that's why they're so angry. Okay, but A.W. Tozer, he put it this way. Listen to this. We put this in the paper last week. A.W. Tozer once wrote, the widest thing in the universe is not space. It is the potential capacity of the human heart. being made in the image of God, it is capable for almost unlimited extension in all directions. I told you before, the book of Romans is extremely extensive. Amen? And one of the world's worst tragedies is that we allow our hearts to shrink until there is no room in them for little more than ourselves. Of all persons, Christians should have the largest of hearts. Praise God. A large heart will be thankful. Will be thankful and even bigger than the universe. So do not be ashamed of the gospel. There are a lot of people who need it. Amen? And listen, that includes us. You don't want to hear about Jesus? I mean, why would you be here if you didn't want to hear about Jesus? You know what I'm saying? So I think you do want to hear about Jesus. So I'm just encouraging you, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? These people, they just followed Jesus, and then they died. And don't see that as a negative thing, because the minute you are not alive is the minute you are truly alive in the arms of Jesus. Amen? So don't be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for each and every person who will indeed allow that to live within. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen? Okay? Praise God. All right. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus and never be ashamed. Never be ashamed. Just live for Him, do what God says, and go all the way. Amen? These people I just read about, they went all the way. All right? We're called to the same thing, really. You know, the Bible says that all those that, everybody that's persecuted for Jesus Christ's sake is going to love them. Amen? It says it the other way around, but that's about what it means. Okay? It's love for Him that causes us to go all the way for Him. Amen? Why? Because we know that He went all the way for us. To a cross, to a tomb, to heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank You, dear God, for this day. As You have given it, dear God, we are venturing forth now, dear God, into a month of seeing things from a very positive perspective, even though it may be a very difficult thing, such as persecution, but to know that it serves You. It serves the gospel, and it serves You. Hallelujah. And so we lift up the name of Jesus. We desire, dear God, that You be glorified in every way today and forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Paul said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.